everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
Yes, you do. Have to watch what's in the background. I mean, people, the little, smallest little details I'll go through, or women, when you take pictures, fix your necklace. When it's over your boob, like, that is my biggest pet peeve with photographers is when you've got, like, a long necklace and it's covering.
Drawing and it's drawing in a line.
No, it's drawing one around one boob around the other, and it's not in the center.
I don't know what's worse than that. I
are you being facetious?
Yes, a little bit.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying, because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up, but first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die.
Let's get on with the show.
That's a great segue.
All right. Artie McLaughlin is a woman who wears many hats. She's the founder and CEO of Definita Marketing. And when she's not doing that, she's either writing stories for People of Charlotte.
Or shopping.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Or appearing on WBTV News in Charlotte as well.
Yeah.
That's
right.
I follow her on her Instagram. And it is always informative.
It is. I love your Instagram.
She gives a nice flavor of many of the things of Charlotte that she visits.
Well, thank you. My photographer and I appreciate that.
You're darn welcome.
Yeah.
So Arden is here today to help us understand the nuances of branding and PR in 2019.
Yes.
And diehards, say hello to Arden. We're glad you're here. Our diehards. So Sell or Die is our show.
I know your diehards. Okay, yeah, right. I'm in there.
All right. Okay,
I just was like, I'm listening for.
Where are they? No,
no. Yeah. I was giving them pause as they were listening to cheer for me.
There you go.
I'm not against anyone cheering for me. I enjoy that.
Cool.
More.
So
don't worry about it. We are cheering for you.
That's so nice.
I think that's the most important thing because you're in a tough job.
I am.
No matter what you do, No matter what you do, it ain't good enough.
It's not. That's the funny thing. It's never enough, or it's never right, or it's never what it's never fully what they want, or it's never the experience.
So you should tell people in advance, say, listen, I'm going to give you a list of things that I'm going to do for you, and you will never be satisfied with them. Is that fair enough?
Wow. I think I'm going to have to reduce my cost.
No. You double the fee. And then get it back to your regular fee and go, are you satisfied to start with?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally satisfied. And then you go about making your mistakes. It's fine.
Oh, okay, okay. So I'm going to under-promise, over-deliver.
Bingo.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take a step back. Yes. How did you get started in sales, marketing, PR, that world?
Well, when I came out of college, I honestly fell into PR.
Wait, did you go to UNC?
I did.
Well, there you darn go. That's why you got the blue on.
Right. We're playing basketball today.
You have one of the highest paid basketball teams in America.
We do. They do a very
–
by team, you mean Roy Williams, not our players.
Oh, the players. Oh, no. They would never take money.
Our football players did, and then they got suspended.
No, they got caught.
Oh, boy.
You have to beat Duke.
Yeah.
You ain't beating Duke this year. No offense. Douglas, Carolina guy. Not as probably going to root for Carolina, but Duke is going to kick their ass.
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
Didn't everyone say that about the Eagles? Everyone's going to kick their ass?
No one's kicking the Eagles' ass.
Here's my deal with Carolina basketball in my wise, seasoned years. I cannot let 18 to 22-year-old boys affect my day-to-day life.
There you go.
I enjoy watching them. I am a diehard
fan, but when the game's over, it's over.
But when it's over, it's over. Except during the NCAA when people try to crack at me. I'm like, again, I am a fan that cheers for my team and I don't boo anyone else. Like, I don't go after them.
She's not from Philly.
Yeah. I'm not from Philly. But I also believe in karma.
We don't just boo. We boo mercilessly.
Right.
Oh, man.
Well, I kind of believe in karma. So if I start going after another team, mine's going to fail. So I'm going to stay on the up and up and believe in the Carolina Tar Heels and rise. We have a freshman point guard. We have a guy in the middle who's okay as a sophomore. And when you've got a freshman point guard.
Duke could beat you with four guys on the court.
This is so interesting. I love basketball talk.
Don't you imagine.
But let's get back to Arden.
Oh, sorry.
So tell me about.
You're not used to talking about yourself. You're used to talking about
everyone else, making them shine.
So
a lot of things happened that led me to my place. But in 2015, my position was eliminated where I was working, which was like a perfect godsend of it's time for something new. I'd left Carolina in 2000, so do the math, I'm 40. And I was like, you know what? At that time, I was broaching on 40. I'm not totally happy or satisfied in my career. What else could I do and what am I good at doing? So I took a pause and started looking around, and I remembered coming out of school, I was a creative writing minor, and I love writing, but I also love telling people stories and telling other people stories, and I'm good at it. I'm good at building relationships. For me, I sell the media all the time. Basically, what I'm selling is I'm selling a story to the media to have them pick it up. I'm really good at that. Most people aren't.
Do you think that you're accepted in the South because you're a Southerner and no one's going to rebuff you as much?
There's no Southerners in the South anymore.
There's plenty of them in the newsprint.
We're sitting in this room with one.
I know, right? But not in the news world. No, they're kind of from all over, and they're very clear about what they can and cannot. So there's no sweet talking.
So let me share a story with you.
Please do. Oh, here's the story.
When I started writing my column for the Charlotte Business Journal, I was a friend of Mark Etheridge.
Okay.
And we had this group at the Chamber, the Business Growth Network, and we invited the business editor from the Charlotte Observer, the person doing PR for the NPR station, whatever that's called, I forget.
Community Relations?
No. The
NPR.
Yeah, the NPR station.
Yeah,
the call letters.
Anyway.
WOR something. And the Business Journal.
Right.
And they talked about how do you get in the paper?
Okay.
How do you get on, that was like the whole thing of it was to do that. So the Observer lady starts out and says, the only way that you can get your story in the paper is if you email us or fax us.
When was this?
A long time ago.
I know. It's like, okay.
But email us or fax us.
Yeah.
And if we like it, we will call you. Please don't call the Observer. because there's very limited space, and whatever we put in there is going to, you know, The NPR lady comes on, and she says about the same thing, that you have to, you know, it has to go through, we have to pass this, we have to do this, we have to do that. Mark Etheridge gets up and says, we have plenty of room, and we love business people. Please email me. Here's my number.
Right.
Please
yeah.
call me directly.
And I love
makes
that.
The other two people look like total jackasses, which they were.
Right.
Oh, boy.
But he took the PR opportunity
yeah.
to build the Business Journal as receptive, open,
right.
and fun.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. Like, but, and he took the opportunity to build a relationship with the audience.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And they loved him.
Right. And so that's what I do with all my friends in the media. I consider them friends. So I may be pitching you a story about my client, or I may just be throwing you a great resource, or I may be
yeah.
giving you an exclusive to my client that just, a Democrat that just went a Republican. I may be doing that, and it may be on behalf of someone or may not be. It's like any relationship. You take care of the other person, and when you really need something, you have your people to call.
So yeah. if
and they would call you.
Yes.
Oh, 100%.
Yes. Yeah.
So a lot of our diehards are entrepreneurs, and
yeah.
they want to get those media stories.
Yes.
They want to get in.
Yeah.
How? What are some tips for doing that?
You know, it's staying in touch with them, but it's also realizing they're short-staffed. Most media members of the media are short-staffed.
Yeah, they've cut back way back.
Right. It needs to be tied to some kind of event mm. or some kind of, if you've got great audio or, like, you've got visuals to send them. If you've got great video of something like here, hey, we had a great video. You can use this. Shoot it on your iPhone. Shoot a couple things. Send it to them. But it's realizing that the person on the other end needs something from you, but they need you to convince them. They need you to say, this is legit and I want to be a part of it.
And you're in direct, in my opinion, you're in direct opposite of what the media wants. You're trying to give them good news.
Right.
And they want to know who died.
Well, and it depends.
They want to know what burnt down.
Right.
They want to know who's all screwed up in our, you know.
That's a lot. And I think that's what sells a lot of papers. But so that's where it's understanding your place.
It doesn't sell a lot of papers anymore.
Right.
The paper is damn near dead.
It may sell the ad.
It sells the ad for the right. TV station or the radio station. And it's getting creative. There's social media. Look for influencers. Like, I've got something I'm needing to pitch right now, and I'm looking for influencers on blogs and on Instagram to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many people go to an Instagram feed faster than they go to a news story?
I'm going to give you the answer.
How many?
Everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So everybody from 8 years old on up.
Right. And that's where it's understanding that everything doesn't have to be at the front page of the paper. Your story, unless you're Pitt that beat State or beat Carolina the other night is not big news. You're not big news. It's understanding your place in the world that you live in and moving it.
This is how I define desperation.
How?
The newspapers are now putting ads on the front page.
Oh, gosh.
Which was sacrosanct.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I want to really dive into Arden's expertise
okay.
for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Focus on that.
What
do
you mean?
So salespeople, how do they get the right PR? Because, I mean, they don't want to, like, publicize their biggest customers and stuff like that. So what
right.
can they do, especially if they're working for a company, to brand themselves in a way that will allow them to be called much more easily or attract more customers?
Well, I teach a course and really work with people. It's called Define Yourself. And that's what Definita is about. It's about defining yourself in a cluttered market. So first, it's understanding, what are my company's parameters? What can I say and what can I not say underneath my company's brand? And then understanding, what makes me unique as a salesperson within my company? I was hired for a reason. Then you start to have your unique qualities. And I always say you get to talk about, you have three non-negotiables that you're willing to talk about that could diversify or limit your clients. So I'm going to talk about the Carolina Tar Heels. I'm going to talk about my faith, and I'm going to talk about my family. Those are my three non-negotiables. I represent political candidates, but I'm still really not going to talk about politics
mm-hmm.
because I believe I represent them in a different way. I'm building their brand as a community leader, not as a Republican or a Democrat. So even that, I shy away from. But the rest, figure out what the market is saying and what they need. So if you're a mortgage broker and you're really great and being creative and you're a customer service mortgage broker sitting in there all the time, take pictures of you sitting in there, figure out how to diversify yourself, and then figure out something cool that you do too.
I would, just me personally,
yeah.
I've always left religion out of the conversation.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it creates discomfort.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll just say that.
And politics, yeah. Especially right now.
Yeah, politics out, religion yeah. out. But I want to talk about things that I feel that we have in common, and that's
right.
where the internet comes in.
Yes.
Because they will give you his LinkedIn page or her LinkedIn page.
Right.
And immediately you have conversationable items.
Right. And that's a lot of it. But what you want to know, like if you're researching me, you're going to go look and see, okay, she does Arden's Book Club. She does No Tribe. She does this. It looks like she's a relationship person. Everything I'm writing, generally I'll post on Instagram and I always want comments below. I'm a relationship person.
Mm-hmm. So if someone's interviewing you or
yes.
you're talking to somebody and they start out by saying, you know, I was reading your post yesterday.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're all ears.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes a little weirded out. I'll yeah. be honest. When people walk up to me in the gym and they're like, I follow you on Instagram. Okay. I don't want to talk right now. I want to work out. It's that weird figuring it out, right? Like,
hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenziano, host of Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, Mr. Gino Barbaro.
The Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast catalogs our journey to becoming financially free through multifamily real estate investing.
Gang, each week we interview a guest specifically chosen for their expertise in and around multifamily real estate.
We talk you through our entire process, every victory and every misstep and everything that we've learned along the way.
What does that look like? Buy right, manage right, and finance right.
The audio podcast is available wherever fine podcasts are found.
Or check us out on our YouTube page where you'll find tons of other great content.
Yeah. A diehard came over and he was like, hey, I know you are going on the vacation in a week and you're doing this and you're doing that. What do you think about this? And I'm like, how do you know all that? And he's like, because you talked about it on the podcast. And I was like, oh, right.
I know. We forget how much we say.
But here's the deal. You have to accept that as part mm-hmm. of your persona.
Absolutely. Yeah. I put my persona out there for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if someone comes up to you.
Yeah.
And they want to talk to you about who you have become.
Yes.
You have to engage them. You have a social responsibility, in my opinion. Otherwise, you're known as something else.
Right. That is true. And I always like to engage, but it's figuring out, okay, do you want to talk?
Right.
Or are you just telling me this?
Stop trying to figure it out. Just go with it. Otherwise, you're...
So, I thought this was my interview.
Yeah, this is her interview.
Here you go, Jeffrey, teaching us.
Otherwise, people would say you're aloof.
Yes. And that, yeah.
But you're ground floor. I've engaged with you.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
right.
I think it's like accepting, and I tell my clients this all the time, it's accepting your space.
Right.
Right? Like, and so we individually, as we build our profile, we still have a harder time of accepting our space. Like, it's really crazy to me how many people, because I know y'all had Sarah on with No Tribe.
Yeah.
I'm the No Tribe ambassador here in Charlotte and in Nashville. And I'm like, suddenly everybody wants to talk to me. I want to know more about this No Tribe. And I'm going, where were you 6 months ago? And I was scrounging up clients. I was scrounging up women.
Listen,
but
it happens.
It yeah. does. And that's the cool thing about having a good publicist.
And it emerges. It doesn't happen overnight.
It doesn't.
So there are a lot of people who think, well, I can do it without the publicist. I don't, no offense.
Oh, no, they totally can if they want to.
Why should they find a good, whether it's you or someone else, why should they find a good publicist?
I think the better question is when should they find a good publicist? Because I tell people all the time, they're like, I want to work with you. I was like, you're not ready. Mm-hmm. Like, you haven't even had your first customer. You haven't even sold your first program. You don't have an established base, or you're changing every 3 months, you're changing your focus. You're not ready for a publicist, because if I can't put you, my whole thing is whether I'm putting you on a national or local stage, if I can't put you on a stage, I can't represent you. I will get you there. But if you don't have a platform yet, or if you don't at least know the pieces of where you're going or what your communication objectives are, you're not ready for a publicist. I'll ask them a few questions.
Or what's going to happen is worse. You get them their space,
yeah.
and then they change their mode.
Right, right. And then it's your reputation,
it's
too,
my
not just theirs.
It's never
it's
theirs. It's always
it's
mine.
Right.
Yeah, it's my fault.
Right.
I've had people tell me, like, whatever, money's money. I was like, not in my business. Money is not money. Reputation is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if I put somebody up who bombs everyone looks at me, and I've put them up that have bombed, and I just look at them and I go,
"What?
What part of our entire media training did you not listen to?"
Yeah.
They're like, "No," and I'm like, "Uh-uh." I mean, people get two chances with me. You can bomb once. If you bomb the second time after we've gone through it, we're not a fit.
Two strikes and you're out.
Yeah.
That's very kind.
You know what, something interesting? Yeah. You know what that just
flashed? She gives them a chance to recover.
You know what just flashed in front of me?
No.
Lawyers do the same thing.
Oh.
They want their client to perform well in front of the judge.
Yeah.
Remember when you almost got fired?
Yeah, I almost got fired by
our lawyer. Almost fired him one time.
Did you? Because you didn't do your part?
Mm-hmm. I wasn't following your instructions.
You needed training.
Yeah.
He did. And then he followed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is you have to get an upfront agreement from them saying, "What you teach me, Arden, I'm going to do."
Yes, yes.
Because if they don't do that, then they bomb.
Right,
yes.
and then it's you.
Right, and that's why all of them go through what I call is my communication plan training. It's they pay for the communication plan first. We walk through it one-on-one and figure out what their objectives are for the next 12 months. Then once they've bought into it, they're much more likely to go yes, 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 because they have a part of the actual plan.
That's cool.
I have an idea.
Oh, boy.
Arden, you should get the squeeze ball.
Yeah?
It's a bomb. And it's no bombs. And I'm giving you one of these. You're entitled to one.
Right.
If you do two, you have to give me the bomb back.
Yeah.
And I will credit whatever's left on your bill.
Maybe keep the bomb.
And you will, home, or I will suggest someone else for you to work with.
Because to me, everyone's going to mess up. I definitely bombed. Everyone has. But that's where you learn.
Jen has never.
Never.
Well, That one time.
Back when she was seven.
Yeah. But you learned from it, right?
No.
We were talking about
charge somebody for that.
Actually, I started a speaking business based on the fact that I did bomb on my first big speech.
Right.
Which is crazy. But anyway.
But it is because it's what people don't realize, and you said people it's a hard to work with me. What I put people in their most vulnerable state in front of a reporter. They don't know what the reporter's gonna ask. Crisis communication, crap has just hit the floor. And they need someone to help them dig out of it. They're getting ready to be in front of the camera.
Or they need a message.
They need a message. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be personal to make it work. And I get a lot of fighting. What I find is I work best with people that trust me.
Mm-hmm.
That trust. We're always going to butt heads. We're going to butt heads at the beginning because it's the storming and norming, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after that, if you continue to butt heads with me, you don't trust me, so we can't move forward. And so you'll find somebody else that you trust. Their working styles work better. It's no skin off my back. I've got five other people that want to work with me. I'm trying to figure out how to get it all done. I want people that want to work with me.
Do you have a list of other PR people that they might be able to contact?
No, that's their responsibility.
Just say here.
No, I'm not doing the work for them. I've done enough work for them.
All right. So what can our diehards avoid doing? Like, what are some mistakes you see people doing out there in terms of branding their company, their personal branding? What are some things that they can avoid so they don't mess up? They don't need that bomb ball, whatever.
Yeah. Drunk pictures.
No bueno.
No drunk pictures.
So they have to go back and edit their own Facebook.
Yeah. Or you really do. The best button is allowing... Your public image is up to you, each of us. It's up to us. And somebody posted a picture of me one time that was at a party, and I looked trashed. And I was just dancing. And I had, like, a drink in my hand. It was water. But I looked hammered. And I was like, nope, unpublished. Because I have to approve everything before it goes out. Because perception is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're caught in one moment of crazy dancing, and you've got a drink in your hand, suddenly it's... She's drunk. She's doing this. Oh, my gosh. She can't represent me.
Yeah.
And I can't trust someone. Whatever the world we live in, that's a big thing, is watching what your images look like, having the approve button on your Facebook. Instagram's better about that. Like,
yeah.
But really being honest with your friends of, my public image is everything. That's my biggest one is.
Public image and reputation.
And reputation.
Yeah.
So reputation is hard. It's keeping your mouth shut. People want your opinion all the time. This is my experience with the person. And if I trust you enough to share my experience.
Yeah.
But really, it's none of anyone's business what I think of anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to give business advice, but never personal advice.
Yeah.
I think, though, that the world is changing where they don't just want to know business. They want to know personal. Like, I want your tips, but I want to know who you are as a person especially in Instagram,
yes,
to determine if I want to work with you.
Right. And I mean, I have plenty of personal on there. And mm-hmm. it's figuring out where to put the personal. Like, I don't need my fat cat Skippy John on every story or on every Instagram feed.
I can't post Charlie and Zoe
absolutely
in every story?
Yes,
they're
yes
so cute.
But really, think about it. What if somebody doesn't like dogs and they're like, cats are worse. People think I'm a crazy cat lady. I am. I have the best, fattest cat in the world, and I think he's great.
Oh, my
but
God.
You've got to figure out, like, what goes on your wall, like, your feed, and what goes in your story. And then highlighting. Some days I'll have too many stories, and people are like, but there are a bunch of clients that I'm trying to put in my highlight mm-hmm. folder. So it's figuring out how to use everything to your benefit.
Let me tell you how old I am. When you said what's on my wall, I thought, like, what's in the background on your wall
oh,
as you're doing an Instagram Live or a Facebook Live? And what's the art like? And what are your books in your library? Because those are also visible, and you're vulnerable by them.
Yes, you do have to watch what's in the background. I mean, people, the little, smallest little details I'll go through, or women, when you take pictures, fix your necklace. When it's over your boob, like, that is my biggest pet peeve with photographers is when you've got, like, a long necklace and it's covering.
And it's drawing the line.
No, it's drawing one around one boob around
not
the other,
cool
and it's not
oh,
in the
that's
center.
Horrible. I don't know what's worse than that. I
are you being facetious?
Yes,
a little
okay
bit.
But but it looks messy. Like,
uh-huh.
I am a person of detail, and it's someone didn't take care of her. A flyaway hand.
Well, the mm-hmm. photographer should also be the director.
Right.
Yes.
And say,
yes,
you know, fix it.
And it's finding the right photographer, because not every photographer realizes they're a director.
Do you think women mm-hmm. photographers are more cognizant of that than men?
No. I think it's they're so focused on, and I've talked to photographers about this. It's part of my job to prep the client, but a lot of times clients are so focused, or photographers are focused on the big picture that the small little details are going to get past them.
Someone
and,
came
you
in
know,
here to do a shoot, and she was pretty good.
Julia Faye,
she's good.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
You know who was amazing at that too is the Paris photographer.
Yeah,
he would be like, pick
every
your
detail
shoe up just 1/8 of an inch.
Yes,
and I'm like, how big is that?
Yeah, you know? And my photographer is very good at that. She's like, hand here, but.
Mm-hmm.
I'm friends with Mitchell Carney, who's a Charlotte photographer.
Yes.
He would make me shave right before the shoot.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he was so immaculate about
he
it.
He is very immaculate,
yes.
Yeah.
And he's good.
Yes.
In fact, he took a picture of me in 2003 that we still use.
I think you need to update.
Luckily, Jeffrey still looks the
same. Oh, okay. I was like,
but,
you don't look the same.
But he does need new photos. He does need new photos.
I do like current photos just because it's more trusting.
We have some current, but
okay.
And I'm
going to
get a shoot soon.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going for shoot. Probably going to use Mitch.
Yeah, do it.
Good friend.
Yeah, you got to trust your photographer and have a relationship with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if businesses want to get their name out there, besides getting great photos, what are some of the other things they need to do to sort of prime themselves and get ready for the media?
Have a platform.
Have a platform. It's show up to things. It's watch media. It's read. If you're wanting to get in the Times, read it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wanting to get on a local TV show, watch it. I don't know how many times I tell my people, have you ever watched the show? No, you need to watch the show three or four times because you need to see the set. You need to see how the anchors talk to each other because then you're more comfortable if you know you're going to be sitting versus standing. Watch, listen to podcasts, listen to what, like, I wouldn't come in here blind.
Right.
I know what a diehard is.
Right.
I know because it's respecting, it's a relationship. I'm mm-hmm. respecting the person on the other end to know I've done my research. And I want to be a part of this.
Cool.
We're writers, among other things.
Yes.
When I wrote my first book, I went to Barnes & Noble and bought 10 books that I wanted to be like.
Yeah.
And inside there, if the author is cool, he will acknowledge his publisher or his publicist. So I had all the names of the people that I wanted and needed for under $100.
Yeah.
And same with Jen. We bought a dozen books and said, I want my book to look like this. And it ended up being like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yours is great.
Thank you.
I read it every morning, a little tip. I'm like, this is so helpful. It's a nugget that I could absorb in a minute, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The challenge is the preparation is everything for them.
It is.
If they have you know, you're very well prepared at what you do. You're very knowledgeable
yes.
about your business, and you speak about it with self-confidence and authority.
Yes.
You may be wrong, but you're not in doubt.
I'm not wrong.
Okay.
Okay, but obviously.
But and clients come to you for that confidence.
Yes.
They want you
yeah.
to transfer your confidence to them.
Yes. And it's and they have to be able to accept it. I've had one recently who called me crying, and I was like, stop crying now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was like, well, I was like, people are not going to support you. Stop crying now. I'm not dealing with it. Like, mm-hmm. and she, if her dog had died or something, but crying over someone not supporting you, not on my watch, because mm-hmm. you've got two people that said no and 25 that are saying yes, and we don't have time.
Right.
Not today.
Yeah.
And because she needed that, I know how to speak at what you need. Let's get up. Let's get going.
So that brings up a really good point. Like, how much persistence do you really need when you're trying to get your story out there?
I think you have to tell it all the time because there's new people following you all the time. It's mm-hmm. why a Rachel Hollis or a Lewis House, they have literally told the same story for at least the last year. Girl, wash your face.
No.
Has he been longer?
Way more than longer.
Right. The same story.
Years and years and years.
Years and years and years. But like, I tell my clients all the time, like, I don't want to talk about this. It's like, how many times does Rachel Hollis say, girl, wash your face? Every time. Then
there's
why do you right. think you, who's had four people buy your book, are any could do mm-hmm. any different? Mm-hmm. Watch who's doing it well, right?
Yeah.
There's a challenge. As a speaker, and for the last 20 years, there's some stories that I've told for 20 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And some that I'm telling for the first time.
Right.
So you have to tell them with the same enthusiasm.
Yes. Yes.
And so the audience can't tell if I'm telling it for
which
the 500th
one?
Time
yeah.
or the first time.
And, you know, where I go to church, I've been going for a long time, so some of the stories will start to get repetitive. And I'm like, I love this story. I love hearing about him taking his kid through the airport. People are like, oh, my God. Because it's fresh and new to someone. Because generally in our world, we're always getting bigger. And to me, if you can't tell your story repeatedly, you're not comfortable with your own story.
But correct. Sometimes...
Or you hear... I apologize for
that's
interrupting.
Okay.
You hear it, and they're not telling it authentically.
Right.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's worse.
Yeah. But that is true.
But what I'm asking is... Okay. How many times you have to actually pitch someone's story
ooh.
To get it to be visible by others? Like,
that's really interesting.
You know, we sell things, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to get a lot of no's, and we're okay with that.
Yeah.
Some people are uncomfortable with no's,
mm-hmm.
and I want to know your take on it. Like, how many no's do you need to get, or what do you do to recover when you get a no from a you know journal or a TV station or whatever?
I look at why I got no. So recently I got a no where I always get a yes. And she gave me her reason back. And I was like, actually, I didn't tell that story right. Here's actually who
the
client...
Wait, she took responsibility. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I
said,
it.
Here's actually who the client is. Here's what they do. And they're similar to another company that I know you have on there. So I related it back to them saying I watched the show. I said, would you be interested knowing this? I got an email back the next day. Oh, yeah, totally. We're down. So I always go back to if I think it's a match, I'm generally right on the match. Maybe I'm not selling it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if I get no, I start to look at either I'm not doing my job or the person,
right.
yeah, or the person's just not going to land. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I get brought into situations and then I start hearing backstories where I've got to do better. I'm a year and a half, 2 years into doing this really full-time heavy hitter. And I don't know a lot of people's relationships with other people in town.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have burned bridges that I didn't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I go in and I'm like getting a ton of no's. I'm going, what is this? And all later through the channels, they're like, we like you a lot, Arden.
But
we don't like them.
Yeah.
We couldn't tell you that over email because of privacy reasons or whatever. So it's so that's not a fit.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not able to overcome preconceived notions, you need someone that can.
Right.
Like,
right.
or you need to be willing to do some damage control or
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. And that's
mm-hmm.
a different relationship.
Sounds like they needed
yeah.
to do a lot of damage control before they called you.
Yes.
But
yeah.
I love.
And I need to do a better job of researching and pulling things out. But.
Yeah.
I know now, right? Like,
right.
do you have
learn.
A, like, please tell me your skeletons?
Yeah, on some.
I mean, literally.
Yeah, some.
The South remembers way better than the North.
Yes.
It's so
yeah.
interesting.
I do. Like, especially if you work with political clients, if you have to do crisis communication, I sit down and go, before we do anything, do you remember Scandal, the original Olivia Pope days of like, well, she'd sit down, and it's a great example, and she'd sit down, she was a fixer, and go, I need to know everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah. They tell you, that's not everything. I need to know everything.
Yeah. Because tell me the truth.
Right.
Yeah. And they still lie.
They're right. Still going to lie. And you kind of start looking around and start asking around. There's one project, and I'm like, I'm not willing to put my neck out on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you're not willing to be upfront, like, yep, this is actually what happened. These are all the pictures. This is everything that was said.
It's not going to work.
Or I'm just going to double the price.
Do you know the guy who from Transamerica or whatever came in and lied about he was in the Olympics and won gold medals and
oh, no. Do you know how many people lie about being in the Olympics?
And they bounced him.
Really? Why?
Because you can research that.
They bounced him out of town. They didn't just bounce him. They bounced him out of town. They fired him from Transamerica. I think it's Transamerica.
So the moral of the story is don't lie about being in the Olympics.
Right. That's really easy to find out.
Don't lie about who you are as a person.
Right.
Especially in the South.
Right.
Because it's findoutable in 2 seconds, even in the North now. But I've always said, if you live in New York City, you could kill somebody on 51st Street, move to 52nd Street, no one ever know.
No kidding. No kidding.
But here, they know all the way to Gastonia.
Everything.
Yeah.
And look, let's be honest. Most people have done stuff in their past that they're not proud of. So just say it. And be honest about it. Like, one of the mm-hmm. guys got a DUI right before elections. He denied it. Dude, just say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That was a misjudgment on mm-hmm. my part.
Yeah, I didn't have $5 to take an Uber.
Right.
That's how much of a jackass I am. Please vote for me.
Right. Or, you know what?
I messed up.
Right. That is the most, like, just I said earlier, I messed up. How much more do you trust me? Because I admit it, I'm not telling the story
100%.
Right.
Because the minute you are found out, you're a fool.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this has been amazing.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I love it.
Am I helpful?
We have to go.
Yes, this has
do
been
you?
Great.
Do you? Okay, good.
No, we don't have
I don't
to
have
go.
To.
No,
are you hungry?
No, I'm not hungry, actually. Oh, okay. But my phone is screwed up.
Oh, boy. You guys are very good about answering people right away.
Oh, boom. Yeah, we're on the
boom. We try. We try.
You are.
But you're very good at PR.
Thanks.
And you're also front end knowledgeable about things and giving away information that others might hold hostage in mm-hmm. exchange for a fee.
Yeah.
You know, my feeling has always been the more you give away, the more you make.
Right. Because then you're going to trust me.
Yeah.
Because you want what I have.
Right.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yep. I mean, I don't know. I'm of the opinion that I live in abundance. I don't live in scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
So when I live in abundance, there's plenty for everybody, mm-hmm. and it's all going to work out.
Yep.
So far, life has worked out for me. That might be my Enneagram 7 for me, that I just believe everything works out. Or it may just be things work out. I'm not going to be scared or hold on to something. I do hold on to secrets, though. I don't freely share those.
That's the one good thing to hold on to. No, don't.
No,
like we should do. Give us one. Bye.
All right. Bye, Arden's Facebook fans.
I'm such a teaser.
So Arden McLaughlin has been our treasured guest today.
Where do we find out? Where do our diehards go to find out more about you?
They can go to the best place is my Instagram, Arden_McLaughlin, MC Laugh. LIN. You can go to Marketing Definita is my website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the
two places.
I'll
put those both in the show notes so that it's easy to click.
Those are the two
we'll
best. I am a proponent, and I always say this: do one or two things really well.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys are great at LinkedIn. My business is so I can't always share what clients I'm working with
mm-hmm.
until after the fact. So mm-hmm. I don't keep my LinkedIn as updated because a person like me, you need a referral.
Mm-hmm.
So I show life and I show character and I show personality in Instagram.
Yeah.
Cool.
Your
yeah.
IG and I
love it.
We follow your IG, so
yeah,
we know.
Yeah, we do. We love it.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks.
You have pertinent things to say about what's going on in a marketplace.
Yeah.
And because you are the leader of No Tribe here in Charlotte and also in Nashville, you have a persona that others are going to be attracted to because of the business that you have built.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
people
sure.
are going to be intrigued by how'd you do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they want to know.
Right.
Yeah. So you're as much of an interviewed person as you are trying to get other people interviewed.
Mm-hmm. I know.
People want to talk to you.
They do. Yeah. And I have a good time talking to people.
You can tell. Yeah. All right. We are out for real. Gotta go.
Jen's wrapping us up.
Bye. Diehards, thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star in Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends. Just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter at Gittimer and Jen at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday. And another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off. Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.